Kyra, you have had some death experiences. Tell us about that.
Oh, sure. You know, it's funny. In 1989, I was a classic CEO of a major corporation, hyper type A, and literally worked myself to death. I died of cancer in 1989. I was clinically dead for 4 minutes. And, you know, prior to my death, my first death experience, I've had two, that being my first, I didn't even know what a near-death experience was or that there even was information about that. Then I go to find out that according to a Gallup study, I'm now one of 8 million Americans to date. Now think about that. You know, back in 1975, when Moody first chronicled in Life After Life, he could only find about 50 people to interview, and now we know that in America alone, over 8 million people have had these near-death experiences. And the gift of having a near-death experience for me was that it actually reconnected me back to what I had always had as a child. I was one of those children that saw your grandparents standing behind you or other relatives or angels. I could tell you what color was going on around you. I would give you messages, which completely freaked out my mother. I mean, we're talking about the early 60s, and, you know, they medicated you for that back then.
Yeah, they sure did.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, my mom, being concerned, was like, stop doing this. So I did. And my near-death experience brought it back in spades, George. I mean, it just came back in spades. And when I died again, after Sharunka and I, shortly after we got married, actually, in 2003, I had another near-death experience. What I learned is that because so many of us on this planet, because, you know, 8 million in America alone, that's just in America, because so many of us are having these experiences, what we're collectively representing is an evolutionary thrust toward a higher consciousness for humanity at large, because the undeniable existence, the ability to be able to look anyone in the eye and know, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, we are limitless beings. We are amazing beings, and that the gift, the greatest gift we have, is being right here on this planet right now.
You're not afraid of dying anymore, are you?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And you know, it's funny because when you can transcend the fear of death, and when you do transcend the fear of death, the freedom to live life is extraordinary.
How about Sri? Sri, do you fear death?
I don't fear death, and I don't choose to prove my immortality by dying and coming back.
No.
<You
know?
laughs>
It's something we don't want to speed up, is it?
Well, let's just say what I've learned is through my meditations, I've been able to track my past lives, and I have experienced death many times in meditation. What I've learned, George, is you don't have to die to resurrect. You can come into alignment with your soul's energy, with that part of you that is eternal and unconditionally loving, without having to go through a death process. However, it does involve a choice. It involves a sincere desire to reunite with the divine.
I want to talk about the angelic realm with both of you, because it's very important to your career, to your life, and so many other people seem to be turning to this area for help as well. What's your definition of the angelic realm? What do you think it is?
Well, you know, before I answer that, I just want to share with you, too, I think it's quite amazing that you bring that up, because it is a powerful realm, as you mentioned. And, you know, according to Time, over 75% of Americans really believe in this, and I'm so grateful for that. The archangelic realm is a realm of energy that exists as a supportive lifeline for those of us on this planet that are available to anyone at any time. And oftentimes it's interpreted as that small, still voice, that dismissible voice that often we don't trust or we think we're not in alignment with. But it's a loving gift, and I see it as a loving gift from the divine source.
The angels that fell to this planet, a lot of people have said that they were extraterrestrial, they were not spiritual. What do you think?
What if they were both? You know, in our new book, 2012, You Have a Choice, there's an extraordinary cosmological discourse that discusses this.
You know, we exist in a galaxy. There is a lot more going on than just this planet Earth. And to those that are bound in the Earth realm, that is, your only point of reference is the Earth, when you have a visitor, whether it's an angelic being, whether they're in body or not in body, it can be a mind-shattering kind of event. And then our personalities make up stories about these people, where they came from and who they are. In fact, we believe that all beings are of the divine source, that is, all are of God. It doesn't mean that they are all clear, that they're all awake to their divinity. Some are more awake than others, and thus some seem to act in ways that we have trouble understanding.
Do you believe in evil, both of you?
You know, I love that question. I love that question. What I believe in is the gift of absolute divine perfection in light and dark. Because without the dark, how could you ever know the light? You know, the archangelic realm recently offered this wonderful message of a white blackboard. So if you would visualize, you're in this beautiful schoolroom called Earth. And the teacher walks up, and she picks up a white piece of chalk and writes on a white chalkboard. Could you see what she was writing?
Well, probably not,
exactly.
I would guess.
Exactly. And that's the gift. You know, that's the gift. And so is there evil? What I can share with you is that from the respect of recognizing the perfection of every action on this planet, regardless of what it feels like at the time, there is a polarity that is playing out on this planet that offers all of us the opportunity to learn, to grow, and to expand in exactly the right manner. And so the word that we give it in this plane of existence is evil or darkness.
Well, there is darkness, no doubt about that, and there is evil, and it seems to be battling, and in some cases it seems to be winning. How come it wins? I always thought good was supposed to be so strong, nothing could beat it.
Sometimes it's a matter of the perspective that you take. If you accept the fact that there are forces at work here in what we call the earth plane or the third dimensional reality, then consider for a moment that there are many other dimensions that have wider boundaries and a different kind of experience in them. And that as we evolve as consciousness, we can take different points of view. So without getting too cosmic on you, I just want to suggest that what looks like a bad thing when you're up close, when you step back and look at the greater energetic soup, it could actually be creating a balance. It could be creating the opportunity for thousands of people to wake up. You know, one horrific act can bring millions of people into their hearts. Is that a bad thing? It's not that I would choose the horrific act. However, the net result is a balancing energy.